Welcome to another podcast by Air Insight.
Today is November the 9th, 2016, and for those of us who stayed up late on the East Coast and are suffering from limited sleep to Malta's election, we're going to do a quick podcast today that will focus on what a Trump victory could mean for the aerospace and aviation sectors. Today we have as our guest Michel Merluzzo, who's joining us, as well as my colleague Ernie Arvai. Gentlemen, first question. The results of the election are in, and Donald Trump is the president-elect. So what type of changes can we expect in the Trump administration, and what implications does that have for the aerospace industry? Ernie, what do you think of this?
I think the implications are going to be interesting, depending on what he can do with the defense budget, which is a real question. He said during the campaign he'd like to increase and restore our military, and that, of course, has implications for aerospace. Michel, your thoughts?
I'm taking a global perspective on this, and in particular, when it comes to some of the comments that President-elect Trump made during the campaign vis-a-vis some of our international partners and how this could potentially impact the aviation industry, in particular, you know, foreign airlines to a degree. Another point that I think is interesting is in terms of the job elements, that was one of Mr. Trump's recurring theme during the campaign, how this impacts the aerospace employment in the United States and overseas. And I think what I sense at this point, at this juncture, which is very preliminary at this point of the year and the pre-Trump administration, is a period of significant uncertainty that could extend very much well into 17 and 18, to be honest.
Ernie, Donald Trump ran an airline not very well. He operates a number of business aircraft, and he should know commercial and business aviation. And he obviously advocates the use of business jets for productivity tools, and unlike the current administration, we may remember that early in the Obama term, when the auto industry was in trouble and the auto industry executives were flying to Washington to get help, that was seen as very politically incorrect. What do you think the implications are for business aviation with a Trump view of the world?
Well, I think the Trump view of the world will be a positive for business aviation, as we won't see the political incorrectness and the pressure put on companies by the statement that Obama made back in 2008. When he made the statement about the auto industry, there was a poll cast over the business aviation sector, and there were several companies that we know of who actually got rid of their airplanes and bought a fractional share so it didn't show up on their balance sheet, and their directors wouldn't get criticism for being politically incorrect or on the wrong side of the issue. And I think even one of the auto companies got rid of their flight department at that point in time. So it's probably good news for the business aircraft sector, as Donald Trump understands the productivity benefits from using business aircraft, which he's done for a long, long time.
Michel, from a military perspective, Trump has indicated that he wants to rebuild the strength of the military. Where do you think the defense budget will focus, and will Trump continue his reputation as a hard negotiator, his self-described hard negotiator reputation, and go after contractors with cost overruns such as the F-35?
Before we jump into the defense issue, let me add to what Ernie just said, if I may. I'm a little bit more cautious about the positive impact of the Trump administration on the business aviation industry. I think the business aviation industry is driven by cycles. Yes, those guys in 2008, 2009, when they sat on the hill in front of the committee, did a terrible job at least an opportunity to explain what value business jets can have for, you know, businesses, multinational corporations in terms of PBT and efficiency and other issues related to the travel confidentiality. So I think it is very important to me to yes, we've had a downturn. We've had flight departments shutting down, some for reasons that Ernie has just exposed, just and others just simply because the cost associated post Great Recession was just too significant to bear. And some of the benefits were converted into fractional ownership, no question. But I'm a little bit more cautious. I'm optimistic, but I'm a little bit now. If we turn our attention to the defense sector, what it is again very early on to say what general impact we're going to have from a Trump administration. But it is very clear to me that Mr. Trump is going to have to deal with his first PDB today or tomorrow, and gradually he's going to come to turn with the realities of the presidency, and he's going to come to term with the realities of the threats around the world that America has got to address on a daily basis. And that will probably be a journey of education for him to understand how he's got to convert this information into a defense policy and defense industrial policy and translate into procurement. What I anticipate from Mr. Trump is probably the acceleration of acquisition cycles, meaning that he's going to be more able to speed up technology insertion, acquisition, and the equipment, acquisition of equipment, and the integration of new technologies, shaking in a way the established processes a little bit, perhaps, and ensuring that U.S. forces are not left behind in terms of acquiring the best available technology in order to address potential threats. Because, let's put it this way, the way the velocity at which the opposition is modernizing or equipping is far more rapid than doing in the U.S. for quite some time.
Adding to what Michelle said, I think some of the impacts of sequestration on the military budgets in certain areas have hit pretty hard. If we look at some basic fundamentals such as military batteries, some of the suppliers in that sector have been suffering as orders have not been coming for almost a year or two. And the inventory is now fairly well depleted, so that the batteries we have are the ones that are out there in the field. We need to replenish the stocks and replenish certain areas that were hurt by sequestration. And I think those may require some immediate action to remedy in the new administration.
Interesting. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about trade. Obviously, aerospace is an international. And components these days come from all over the place. You know, the 787's getting parts from Japan, and Airbus has a factory in Mobile, Alabama. International trade was an issue that came up in the campaign quite a bit. What do you think Trump policies could be around impacting the commercial aerospace business?
Well, that's I think that's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Here we have a candidate, the president-elect, who has based a lot of his message on bringing back jobs, reshoring employment in the United States. And aerospace has got to be one of the key component of that strategy. I think, if we think about his comments vis-a-vis our neighbor to the south and our neighbor to the north, I think, and it's perhaps premature to say so, but let's say it nevertheless, the cluster, the Mexican aerospace cluster, could potentially be the losing party in this election victory of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And not so much because it doesn't have any value. On the contrary, Mexico is a great aerospace cluster. It's a maturing aerospace cluster where competences are evolving in a direction that will give Mexico the opportunity to bring in more complex assembly and production work. But the issue now is if a U.S. or a European or an Asian company is looking at diversifying in North America, with the uncertainty pertaining to Mexico, with the uncertainty pertaining to NAFTA, the safe option, in my opinion, would be to consider primarily moving to the United States and probably in the Southeast as a primary destination, or even perhaps states like Michigan. Why? Because business doesn't like uncertainty. And therefore, even if cost may be marginally higher in the Southeast or other locations in the U.S., including the state of Washington, let's not forget how strong this cluster here is, it is probably, from a timing standpoint, from a strategy standpoint, from an OEM partnership standpoint, the wiser to play safe and come to the U.S. and not go to Mexico or even to Quebec. So I think this uncertainty driven by Mr. Trump's comments during the campaign, either he qualifies it or he resolves the problem very quickly. But in the long run, if this perdures into 2018, this could benefit, you know, the U.S. clusters tremendously.
Very good point.
One of the elements, I think, in international trade has been offset policy, because every time we sell an aircraft program to a third country, typically in the military, we have an offset requirement to build some component or some percentage of the aircraft in that country. So we've been building parts in Turkey, in India, in many places around the world as a result of offset agreements. If Mr. Trump's policies on trade and renegotiation seriously, could he throw a dent in future offset agreements for U.S. foreign military sales? And that could have an interesting impact in terms of international trade dynamics.
Well, the thing about and to that point, Ernie, I agree with you. I mean, I could talk a little bit about the military and the offset agreements, and there are several competition that Boeing and Lockheed Martin are going after now that could be impacted by this. But let's think about the next Boeing airplane, for example. Will this airplane contain a significant chipset built by a foreign partner? In this case, this program could come under scrutiny. I know we are probably 3 or 4 years away from decisions as to where this aircraft and which partners would be involved. But in any case, we have to assume a potential second term for Donald Trump. It's perhaps premature, but you know, let's assume it. And in this case, any significant chipset from foreign partners on the next Boeing airplane or any other airplane, as a matter of fact, would be under very deep scrutiny. And again, I come back to my point earlier, probably benefit a U.S. aerospace cluster and probably would benefit a lower cost cluster, whether it's in the Southeast or another location. So there are political elements that we need to take into account. You know, the Northwest versus the Southeast, again, could come into play because people don't, you know, vote for Mr. Trump here in Seattle. You know, we have to be realistic. So there is a significant play. And I think we're not going to see the decision for quite some time. Boeing has not even announced when they're going to do a new airplane, if they do a new airplane, but it's safe to say they will probably do something. But Trump's policy will definitely be influencing partnerships and industrial policies.
All right. How about as a wrap-up question? Obviously, the way you both explained it now, we have a clear idea that these programs are long-term, and long-term issues drive all kinds of decisions. What do you think is going to be the transition of putting policies into place? How will they be smooth? There's a whole thing, like you mentioned, business doesn't like unpredictability or risk. What do you think about the approach a new administration has to have to this long-term industry to minimize risk and to ensure that it's as smooth as possible?
Well, for someone in the campaign who said he'd like to be unpredictable, That's something that may not sit well with the business community, who likes stability and the ability to predict things. So can we expect a roller coaster ride? And I think the answer is initially maybe, until we get these policies set. So I think that remains to be seen, in my view. Michelle?
I come back to my favorite word of the day, which is uncertainty. I would say that the sooner Mr. Trump and his new cabinet can remove various degrees of uncertainty, the better for everybody, for the economy, and for the development of the aerospace business under his mandate. And you know, what is he going to do? Are we going to have some sacrificial lambs? Is Iran going to be the first one to go? And how will this impact, you know, potentially the sales of Boeing and Airbus there? I think the key thing for the transition is to remove that uncertainty as quickly as possible in order for business to plan and for volatility to be at a very minimum over the next year or so.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
This recording is copyrighted by Air Insight.